Well, let me ask this morning, how many of you are either a parent or a grandparent? Let me see your hands. All right, that's a lot of folks here. There's something about being a parent or a grandparent that you really just want what's best for your children, for your grandchildren. That's a love, I think, that God just puts in your heart. And I think of the fact that our Heavenly Father has that same heart toward us. He is always good. And He's always desiring what is good for us. And we've been studying together God's wisdom ways from the book of Proverbs. If you'll turn there with me to Proverbs chapter 3. I love this book because the focus of the whole book is the heart of the Heavenly Father through Solomon, who was a father, pouring out advice to his children, saying, God is good and God wants what's best for you. Choose wisdom's way. Choose God's way for your life. You won't miss out when you go in God's way. And God in His grace will bring to you blessing, and He will bring a legacy of glory through your life for this lifetime and even out into eternity if you'll just trust in God. And so I love the heart of God poured out through this book to us. And that's the focus of our message today, the benefits of wisdom and discretion. As the Heavenly Father is speaking through Solomon to us, helping us that we're in a world with lots of temptations. There's lots of paths to evil and destruction. But He's painting a picture for us that when you choose God's way, you don't miss out. You get in on the blessing of God for time and for eternity. Now, remember kind of the background, those of you who have been with us for a while. In chapter 1, we saw Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. God gave him this wisdom. He starts his talks with his children in chapter 1. And he starts off with this theme, seek wisdom. Seek to look at life through God's point of view. And he said the key to that is to have a high reverence and respect in your heart for God. Have a respect for your human authorities, for your parents. Stay away from those who would pull you down a wrong path. That's the emphasis of chapter 1. That's right out of the chute. It all starts with a right view of God and a respect for God in your life. Then in chapter 2, he talked about seeking after wisdom. This isn't a passive thing. But just like a miner would go down into a mine to dig out silver, and someone would hunt for hidden treasure, you make it a priority in life. I want to look at life from God's point of view, and I am going to make this my daily pursuit. So that's the emphasis of chapter 2. And the focus there is that if we do this, it will protect us from the influences of evil men and women. We live in a sinful world. We're sinners. And we're only converted by God's grace through faith in Jesus to even desire what's right. And so we're going to be tempted all throughout our life, but having wisdom in our life will keep us and protect us. Now, in chapter 3, we've been looking at this theme of wisdom made, wisdom run. And today's emphasis is the benefits of wisdom, leaving a lasting legacy. Let me review with you in verse 19 the premise that Solomon makes here as he helps his children to connect the dots. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. It's so interesting, as you read through your Bible, you'll find passages that correlate. I was just reading this last week in the Psalms. And in Psalm 33, I read this same truth. At verse 5, it says, the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And then it says in verse 7, He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap and puts the deeps in storehouses. Well, I got to thinking about that, of the master designer, engineer, God, how amazing He is. Job 28, verse 26 says, God made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. So what we're seeing here throughout the Bible is that God's given us two books of learning. The one book is the Bible. That's where we learn God's moral law. But the other book is the book of creation, and we see His created order. the very founders of the modern scientific method were Christians. They believed in God. They believed in the Bible. And they said, look, there's a God of moral order. We look at creation. There's a God of created order. And we want to understand his ways. And that's where scientific method developed, from God-fearing people who saw the two books. And so I was thinking this last week a little more about the passage here before us of how God put the clouds together in the whole system of providing life for us on earth. Think about the clouds, how they gather water vapor in heaps. And the water comes up from the below, from the deep, and it collides with the ice in the clouds, which is made by the high temperatures at the higher altitude. And then lightning slices through and those molecules collide. An amazing thing happens that nitrogen is formed. And nitrogen is essential for our life on Earth. All of this is engineered by God. I was reading up on it and read that there are estimates of 30 to 100 lightning strikes per second around the world. Okay, now, is that important? It's very important. As you look into it deeper, it's all engineered by God. Just like God says here in Psalms and in Job and in Proverbs, digging into it a little deeper, all living things depend upon the chemical element of nitrogen. Your body contains molecules known as proteins, and those proteins are made up of a lot of elements, including nitrogen. Well, nitrogen is essential. It's essential for proteins, but it's really hard to make into proteins. And so even though our atmosphere is 78% nitrogen, and we're breathing it in all the time, as we breathe it in and out, we're not using it. The nitrogen is in the air. It has three electron bonds between the atoms, so it's really strong. And it's a strong arrangement that God has designed. And so it takes a whole lot of energy to break those bonds to free the nitrogen to make a protein. But that's what God's designed. That's what he's developed in what we're reading here in the scripture. When that lightning slices through the atmosphere, it knocks electrons from the nitrogen atoms. And then the atoms are free to combine with oxygen and hydrogen in the atmosphere, and it forms nitrates. Well, the rain then comes down and brings these new compounds that God is constantly making in the heavenlies down to earth. They enrich the soil with nitrates, which are the building blocks of proteins. And the plants then synthesize these nitrates into proteins, and they can be used by animals and by us and sustain our life on earth. Now, did that all just happen? No, that didn't all just happen. That's the design of God. And so without the lightning, without all these processes that God put into place, without the nitrogen, life as we know it wouldn't exist. There's a purpose. There's a plan in the mind of the Creator. The designer has great intelligence. And where would we be? We wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even exist except that God exists and he gives us life and breath. He's created us for a purpose. This is what Solomon then is doing with his children. He's saying, look, connect the dots. It didn't all just happen. There's a designer, a master designer, and he has a plan for your life. And the wisdom of the ages is to find out what is God's plan for your life and join God in his plan. Not say, hey, this one I'm going to do with my life. God bless it. But say, God, what do you want to do? You made me. You created me. Show me what you want to do through my life. That's the wisdom of the ages. And so as you think about this together with me, let's focus in today on the benefits of wisdom and discretion. We're going to be tempted to go on wrong paths. But if we're sold in our heart, God's way is the best way. And no way am I going any other way. I want God's benefits in my life. We have many young people here and adults and people. You're making up your mind. You're asking questions. You're saying, who's got the answers? God does. What is the best way? God's way. And as you sort this through, God will bring you to a strong faith that will convince you in your soul for time and eternity, I want God's wisdom and I'm going to follow God's ways in my life. Let's look at these benefits of clinging to wisdom and discretion. Look at verse 21. The very first benefit is keeping wisdom and discretion brings life. Verse 21, my son, Let not them, that is wisdom's ways, depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion is the ability then to apply wisdom, live by it. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. So here's what Solomon is telling his children. He's saying, look, keep God's word in your life daily. Live by it. Take hold of it. Hold it close to your heart and soul. And let God's word take hold of you. Now, what's the promise? If you will do this, my children. Verse 22, God promises you life. Not just physical life, but eternal life. Abundant life in Christ and in God's will. Solomon's appeal and God's appeal here is this. Look, as much as nitrogen is essential to your physical life, God's wisdom is essential to your spiritual life. And God has designed this for your good. So when we live in wisdom's ways, God is glorified. Grace is received and given. We personally benefit. We experience abundant life. Jesus describes our submission to the Holy Spirit. Having believed in Jesus that he died, was buried, and rose again, and trusted him as our Savior, we are born again. God's Spirit comes to live in us. Now God is teaching us to yield to the indwelling Holy Spirit. And as we yield to him, Jesus pictures it in the book of John as rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. What a beautiful picture of God's plan to bless us, to bless us in our lives. This is God's desire. And so knowing and keeping wisdom will bring life. That's God's desire for you and for me. Number two benefit, keeping wisdom and discretion brings security. Verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Hey, let's face it. Life is filled with slippery slopes, right? I mean, there's just lots of challenges. And Proverbs is telling us in other places that a righteous person will fall, but arise again. We heard that this last week. I've shared with you one time we were hiking up in Canada with our boys and Cheryl. We were at a pretty steep mountain area trying to get up to an overlook. And Mama went down. I mean, she slipped. And we saw her going. There's nothing we could do. We all held our breath. Is she going to be in one piece, you know? And thankfully, she was. Nothing broke. She was okay. And we went out with our hike. But God knows that we're going to have some slips and some falls in life, but not irrecoverable falls. God will direct us. He will keep us. He will protect us. It's so sad when you see the life of a person who has heard and been taught wisdom's ways, but then they choose not to live by it. They choose to go another way. It breaks your heart. And as you look back in life and you know people you've loved and prayed for, and you knew they knew what was right, but they choose their own path. And then their life self-destructs and they do not find the blessing of God in their life. It breaks your heart. I think of how Absalom grew up with a God-fearing daddy, David. But Absalom said, no, I'm just going to be filled with myself. I'm going to do my thing. And he led a rebellion against his own father. And he ended up hanging by his hair in an oak tree with darts through his heart. He rebelled against God and God's working in his life. I think of the fact that what Solomon is saying here to his children is this. Cling to wisdom. Hold it fast to your heart. Apply it into your life. Let wisdom discipline your emotions and your choices. Make your choices not by how you feel, but by what God says. Now, renewing our minds and our hearts and souls in God's word is so essential. Later, we'll be coming in Proverbs to this whole topic of love and what is true love and infatuation. And those of us who've grown up through the adolescence years, we know that this whole thing, there's a difference between having what sometimes we'll call infatuation and what real love is. There's a world of difference. And Solomon later will be studying that together, teaches how young people can see the difference and not be fooled by what they think is love, but it's a false love. So we see here that wisdom's way will bring us security in our life, a stability. Now, number three, keeping wisdom and discretion brings peace. Look at verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Hey, how many got a good night's rest last night? Let's see. It helps to get a good night's rest, right? I mean, it's just true that if you're going to be productive the next day, you need to be able to get a good night's rest. You know, a lot of times, because we live in a sinful world and we have pressures, we have problems. Have you ever tossed and turned and just couldn't get to sleep? Something heavy on your mind, something heavy on your heart. And wisdom's ways will teach you how to turn your burdens over to God, how to cast your cares on the Lord and let God put a peace in your heart, even when circumstances around you are not peaceful. Peter was in prison. He was scheduled for death and execution the next day. And yet that night he went sound asleep. That was the grace of God helping him to cast his cares on the Lord. That was God and his grace. David had to run for his life for 7 years from Saul, who was trying to kill him. Many of the Psalms are prayers he prayed. And now we pray those same Psalms back to God and make them our prayers. And we pray like Psalm 23. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You are with me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There are many days when he got up that morning and it didn't look very good, but he had the promises of God in his heart. It brought a peace to his soul. Do you have some precious promises? Do you have some verses that you just, when you can't fall asleep, you go right over them in your mind and you pray them back to God, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your strength is made perfect in weakness. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't let anxiety control you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Do you have some verses that you just pray back to God in those troubled times? And the Holy Spirit then takes those verses and he brings a calm and a peace. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what God wants to do for us. Keeping wisdom and discretion brings peace. Number four, keeping wisdom and discretion brings confidence. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You see, these promises of God, this relationship of faith with God, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It brings a confidence to you. God himself becomes your confidence. Your confidence is not in you or your ability. It is in God, in his ability. Can you imagine the faith that it required for Noah for decades to keep building an ark when he's being mocked by his peers? But can you imagine the day when God sent him into the ark and closed the door and he heard the screams of the people dying in a worldwide flood and he realized, boy, thank you, God, for helping me to live by faith. Thank you for not living by the crowd and what the crowd says, but what God says. Noah lived by faith. Now, God's a master potter. He's fashioning the life of every person who will yield and submit to him and receive Christ by faith. He's molding you into a masterpiece, a unique masterpiece. We're all different. We're all unique and we're all special. And you can trust in the Lord. Verses 5 and 6. With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in your life. Tonight in the evening service, I want you all to come back at 6 o'clock for our communion service. And in preparing our hearts for the communion service, we're going to show a video entitled The Potter. And it really brings out some of these deep thoughts of how God is working in us for his purposes. But right now, I want us to watch a short video by that same master potter who you'll see tonight. This little video is called Usefulness. And it's a reminder to us that God's got a plan, a unique plan for each of our lives. And we can have confidence in God and his plans and his purposes for our lives. Let's watch this little video entitled Usefulness.
We have watched the journey of this picture, the story. How it was made on the potter's wheel from wet clay. How it sat for a while, waiting, without a handle, as the other pot was formed and made huge and beautiful. And then the handle was attached when this pitcher was mature and ready. Then it was glazed, decorated, given individuality, went into the kiln, and has gone through an intense firing time. It's out of the kiln now. It's ready to be used. And I want to talk about this picture as a great example of how we are to be following Jesus. This picture is a great illustration of a follower of Jesus. Currently, this pitcher is empty inside. And oftentimes we are empty and we are in need of filling up from God personally, of love, of kindness, of mercy, of strength, of perseverance, of courage, a desire for justice for others. There's just so many things that God can fill us up with. He knows in advance what we're going to be doing that day, who we're going to be seeing. So He prepares and fills us on a regular basis. The thing I love about a pitcher also in this is that it has a handle. And the handle directs where the flow goes. So for each of us, it's important, whether it's our mind, our will, our heart, our spirit, that becomes the handle, that we would give that handle under the control of the hand of God. That we don't try to direct ourselves, but we let God direct us. Jesus said, I do nothing except that which my Father shows me. Jesus was completely submitted to His Father. We're called to do the same thing. So as I pour out that which is contained inside, I want us to think about what's inside of us. Is there bitterness? Is there fear? Is there hurt? We need to give those things over to God that He might remove those, heal us up, and then fill us up with the things that the rest of the world needs, the people that we encounter, that we would love and minister to. So my first question is, what are you filled up with? Jesus would have said the same thing. What is inside of you? The second thing I want to ask is, does God have a handle on your life? And thirdly, are you ready to pour out what He has given you? Because we're not to contain that love. We're not to contain that kindness. It feels good, because it's come from God. But He's given it to us that we would pour it out in abundance, freely, with just outrageous love and grace. We never know who we're going to encounter that day. So maybe this cup here needs some kindness. And this cup here needs some boldness. Because they're encountering challenging things in their life. And this cup here needs patience. And finally, this cup has had a really hard day. Been fired from a job. This cup needs the love of God. Needs to be filled to the brim. You know, Jesus at one time met a woman at a well. She'd come with her pitcher to fill it up with water. And Jesus had a wonderful conversation with this woman. She was a Samaritan woman, a foreigner. And He said, I can give you water that is living water. And when you drink of it, you will never thirst again. The water that God pours into us, that love, that kindness, those things of His Spirit, when we pour those out, it fills people up. It's the way to live. It gives great joy. It's an abundant, fulfilling life when we are constantly giving away that which God gives to each one of us. Every one of us has purpose, as we've been saying over and over. But God will fill us with the things that we can pour out with the purpose that He's called us to. Don't ever go out empty. Keep asking for him. Lord, give me more love. I'm having a challenge with this person. Give me more kindness. This person's been really harsh. And he'll do it. He'll fill you up. You know, that woman at the well, it's interesting. The Bible says that she left after the disciples came back. She left, and she left her empty pitcher at the well. And she went running to her town. She went like a living pitcher. She went filled with the living water of the knowledge that the man that she had just met was the Messiah. And even though she was a woman who was probably pretty despised in that village, she'd been married 5 times. There were just a lot of failure in her life. Now, she was a new person. She was filled with new life. And she wanted to share it. So off she goes. And very soon after sharing with the people in that village, they all start streaming out towards the well. But not for the regular water. They came streaming for the Messiah, for the living water. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "The fields are white unto harvest." Many people in that village that day came to know Jesus as the Lord, as the King, as the Messiah. Because one woman got filled up with the truth of God and poured it out freely to everyone that she encountered. And they were refreshed and became alive.
So as we submit to the Master Potter, he empties out the wrong stuff in our life and he fills up our life with the right stuff. And that brings us to what we see here, number 5. Keeping wisdom and discretion brings compassionate consideration. Look at verse 27 and following. You see, there's 2 ways to live. And Solomon contrasts these 2 ways for his children to see. You need to pick God's ways because there's no in between. You either go God's way in your life or you're going to go the foolish, destructive way. Choose wisely. Compassionate consideration. What does it look like? Well, God is good to us and he wants us to be good to others. Verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it's due when it's in the power of thy hand to do it. See, God loves us, but he loves all people. We're created in the image of God. And so we should treat other people the way we want to be treated. Why? Because everybody is of worth. Everyone is created in the image of God. And so we see here that we should pay what we owe speedily. Verse 28. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I'll give, when you have it by you. See, we're to owe no one anything except to love them. We're to love people. And so it's our own covetousness that holds back what we ought to pay to another. We should give back to God the first fruits of our increase. When we don't do that, it's our own covetousness. When we don't give immediately to people what we owe them, it's our own covetousness, our own selfishness. And so quickly paying to others what is due to them. Many live hand to mouth. They need those resources. And so we bring great suffering and harm in the world when we fail to give what we should give to others. We need to grow in our sensitivity to the needs of people. We need to plan good, not evil. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by you. I remember as a boy, and I had accepted Christ. I believe Christ was in my life. But my mind was far from being disciplined by God to think God's thoughts. And I remember in my own foolishness going in restaurants and trying to figure out how we could get out without paying. Well, where do you get that? You know, that wasn't from God. That was just my own wicked, fleshly devising evil. And I needed to learn to bring those thoughts, those wrong thoughts, under God's control. And so we're to plan good, not evil. A spirit-filled believer is consistently looking for ways to do good, to do what's right, to help others. But oh, the wickedness of the human heart apart from God's grace. How wicked Saul was toward David, trying to hunt him down and kill him for 7 years. How wicked Cain was when he killed his own brother. how wicked Joab was when he killed Abner and Amasa. The next thing, what does this look like? We live at peace with others. Look at verse 30. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. So the law tells us, don't contend with someone unless you have a solid cause. But then grace goes even further in the New Testament, and Jesus teaches us even to love those who do evil toward us. That's an amazing love that can only come from God. We're also to guard our motives and actions. Look at verse 31. Envy thou not the violent person, the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. Beware of the love of power. There are many people who use violence to gain material wealth and power and position. Don't let that model be your model for living. Don't let the strong desire of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life take control. Verse 32, for the forward or the diverse or the devious is an abomination to the Lord. His secret is with the righteous. That is, the righteous are in his confidence. So you see, God's telling us there's two ways to live. Son, choose God's way. God resists the proud people, the devious people. God's secret and confidence is with the righteous person who just humbly meet with God every day in the secret place of prayer and depend on him and yield to him. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling or the habitation of the just. So our sin will affect not only us, but we see here in Scripture that our sin will affect those we should be loving and protecting. God's curse is on the house of the wicked. Are you under God's curse or are you under God's blessing? Well, because of my sin, I deserve to be under God's curse. I deserve hell as much as anyone that's ever lived. But through Jesus, he took the curse for me on the cross. Amen. He took my place. And now through faith in him, I'm not under the curse. I'm under the blessing. God sees me in Christ. Now I should live that way as a blessed one. I should live with grace. Have you received Jesus by faith as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you living in obedience to him so that you're in the place of his blessing? Verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners. He giveth grace to the lowly or the humble. The world's way is I'll be proud and I'll just plow everybody over. God's way is I'll submit to God and let God bless in my life. The scornful spirit of pride displaces God like Satan did when he led a rebellion against God, like the builders of the Tower of Babel. Like Pharaoh under the 10 plagues, and he said, well, I'll just live with the frogs one more night. That pride that won't submit to God. Many of our leaders in America resisting God, resisting his word. We're going to go our own way regardless of what God of the Bible says. Our own hearts if we are not filled with grace. So when we choose our heroes, choose your heroes wisely. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? I want to be like Jesus. I want to grow to be like him because Jesus is God in the flesh. I want to be godly. That ought to be the heartbeat of our heart. We need to humble ourselves and submit to God. And then finally, keeping wisdom and discretion brings blessing, grace, and a legacy of glory. A legacy of glory. Look at this. Look again at the contrast. We've looked at the negative. Now look at the positive. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the house of the just. Don't you want your children and your grandchildren and future generations to be blessed? Well, sure you do. Then live in wisdom's ways. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the humble. Well, then I'm going to, with God's help, I want to humble myself before God. The wise shall inherit glory, verse 35. But shame or disgrace shall be the promotion of fools. That is, God says, I'm going to give you an inheritance of glory. I'm going to bless your life and I'm going to allow you to glorify me. And your whole life is going to get caught up into a life that reflects the glory of God for time and for eternity. I will give you a legacy of honor, a legacy of glory that'll never end. It'll be eternal. That's the picture here. So get it in your mind. Here's the clump of clay on the potter's wheel. Our bodies are just made up of clay. We're made of dust. And God breathed into us the breath of life. We now are an immortal soul We're going to spend eternity somewhere forever. Place your faith in Jesus. Take by faith that he died on the cross according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again to pay the debt you could never pay except in hell. And trust him now as your Lord and Savior. Trust him now. Believe in him by faith. And then surrender yourself to the hands of the potter. Let him begin to mold your life to make you more and more like himself, like God, a godly person, a Christ-like person. God's got a plan for your life. It's not for 1 year or 10 years or 100 years or 1,000 years. It's for 10,000. It's for eternity. He's molding you for what his plans are for your immortal soul forever and ever. He's beginning that plan now in this life. That's why the Bible says God's plans for believers are filled with hope and a future. We have that. What is our part? To yield to the hand of the potter. Yield to him. Ask him, Lord, mold me. Whatever needs to be pulled out of my life, take it out. Whatever needs to be put in, put it in. You be the controller. And what happens when we yield to God? Oh, we see that each of us are created uniquely. We're each special. We're not all the same. We have different personalities, different gifts, and different aptitudes. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And each of us have a place as he molds us and finishes us into what he wants us to be. We walk in wisdom's ways. We'll be led to have a lasting legacy to the glory of God. What does it all mean for us? Every day, each person makes daily choices. You're making choices as I do every day to either follow human wisdom, selfish wisdom, or God's wisdom. What's the wise thing to do then in light of what we've seen? Come to God and say, God, I choose your wisdom. And I want you to empty out of my life self and sin and the flesh and the things that would hinder your will in my life. Empty me out. Empty me out. Secondly, I, by God's grace, choose to keep close to my heart and life discretion and wisdom from God. It's a choice. God doesn't force this on you. You must say, this book is going to be my guide. I'm going to live by the book and my heart relationship with Jesus. So God, empty me out of the wrong things and fill me up with the right things. Fill me up with your love, your spirit, with Jesus. Fill me up. And then finally, I humble myself to choose God's best, believing God for the benefits and the blessings he's promised in my life. That is, Lord, I am willing to believe you. I put my life in your hands. I'm your pitcher. I am your vessel. Fill me up with yourself, with your son. And yes, Lord, at personal sacrifice, I am willing to be poured out for your glory to others. That's wisdom's way. That's wisdom's way of living. And I pray that every boy and girl, every young person here will see what Solomon was trying to teach his children, that the greatest thing you'll ever do is lose your life into God's will and his wisdom ways.